This evening, we've been asked to come along and kind of talk about some of the things that we're involved with. We were just joking about before we started that my job title is the, National Eden Bus Development Manager. And Ashley has been interning with the Message Wales and Eden Bus since June last year and has taken on the job. In fact, I think I've probably given him the job title, the National Eden Bus Development Manager's Coordinator. So I get to do all the fun stuff and Ashley gets to clear up everything behind me. The only thing he's not very good at is a diary. So this morning, despite the fact that we talked about being here this evening, I don't know how many times last week, this morning I said to Ashley, right, ready for this evening? And he's like, why? What's this evening? So, millennials. What is the Eden Bus? I think we'll start with that, really. So the Eden Bus basically is a large orange and yellow tin box on wheels. That's probably the best way of describing it. And it started a long time ago up in Manchester with a charity called The Message. But this is our bus in South Wales. It's almost as old as me. It's 28 years old. And yeah, thank you very much. It's older than Ashley. There we go. And this is me stood outside the Eden Bus the very first time that I drove it back in September 2016. But where did the Eden Bus come from? Well, I can tell you practically it got donated to us from Stagecoach. Brian Souto, who's the owner of Stagecoach, is a good Christian guy and used to give us buses to convert to Eden Buses. But the vision for the Message started with this guy. His name is Andy Hawthorne, OBE, to give him his proper title. And 31 years ago, Andy and his brother used to run a business up in Manchester making braces and belts. And it was a bit of a social enterprise, so they worked in a really rough area called Withenshaw. And one day, Princess Diana was photographed wearing a pair of braces that they had made. And literally, their business took off overnight. They had thousands and thousands of orders in. They didn't know what to do. So in Andy's words, they went to the local community, employed all the local scallies. So they used to make all these braces and belts in inner city Manchester. And he said every night, like, they'd get a call from the police to say, your factory's been broken into again. And he'd get up and he'd be driving down to the factory and people would be walking past wearing coats from there and belts and braces and stuff. And him and his brother went, this isn't good enough. Like, we're giving them jobs, we're giving them money, but they need more than that. You know, there needs to be a lifestyle change, really, with the young people that they're working with. More than anything, they need Jesus. And so he got a few friends together. They started a band called the Worldwide Message Tribe. Anybody remember them at all? Jumping in the House of God was one of their that is exactly how it went. And Andy is a terrible singer. He'll tell you that himself. But they said, right, let's book the Astoria in Manchester. So they did a week-long mission. Thousands of young people came along and loads of young people met Jesus for the first time. And that's absolutely amazing. And they then started this band. He left his business behind and then they used to tour all of these different schools and so on in Manchester. And then they do gigs on the weekend where they'd share the gospel, and they'd see, without fail, young people responding to the gospel every single week. And that's brilliant. But then they came up with a problem. Well, what do we do with the young people that kind of have accepted the gospel? What do we do with those who have responded? You see, what was happening is that these young people were going along to local churches. There was one church in particular in Withenshaw who said, yes, great, do a young people's mission. We'll have the young people here on Sunday morning. And 101 young people turned up to church one Sunday morning in this time. tiny, battered church in Withenshaw. There were three older ladies there called Ethel, apparently. And there were some people of an older age there. And these young people turned up with their dogs and with their skateboards and absolutely terrified the local church. And so the church kind of met the following in the week and said, what are we going to do? You know, what's our response to this? And so their response to it was to meet 2 hours earlier the following Sunday and to be gone by the time the young people turned up. Literally, that's what happened. I mean, it's funny, but it's, oh, gosh, imagine that, you know. We're saying to these young people, you're wanted, you're loved, you're accepted, you know, you're part of God's family, and then God's family turns around and says, actually, you're too much for us. And it's understandable. Like, these young people had never been in church before. They didn't know how to behave. Nobody had told them that you have to sit quietly in church. And so they then set up something called Eden. And Eden basically was people going from the leafy suburbs, choosing to be downwardly mobile, not upwardly mobile, downwardly mobile, and moving into local estates like Withenshaw, which was our very first Eden estate. And they worked in these churches with the ladies called Ethel, and the young people and their dogs and skateboards, and discipled them and mentored them and supported them. Within 2 years, there was 5 Eden teams across Manchester. To date, there's 62 Eden teams, not just in the UK, but in Canada, in South Africa, in Germany, soon to be in Poland and so on. Not yet. Oh, no. Oh, no, it is. Sorry. I don't know, my own PowerPoint show. Look at that. That's awful, isn't it? And so Eden was started 26 years ago. And we're really excited. There's 2 Eden teams in Wales. There's one in a place called Rhydfelin up by Pontypridd. And there's one in Tremorpha. And there's one being launched very, very shortly. So the message kind of has a two-pronged ministry. You've got the proclamation, which is so important. We're all evangelists who work for the message. And also then the proximity, kind of living alongside people in the hardest to reach areas, the last, the least, and the lost. So we also do big missions still as well. So don't just work in Manchester. I don't know if you heard of the Hire Tour that came to South Wales recently. This is a little video of the Hire Tour.
So yeah, that looks great, doesn't it? So actually, that one clip where they said about just we have hope. There was 1,000 young people there that night. That was in Cardiff. That was, and so there was like 1,000 people saying like we have hope. And so I will talk a bit about the Hire Tour and what that actually meant for us as a church and with what I do. But before I mention that, I just want to talk about what I'm doing at the moment in East Cardiff. So as Mike was saying, I'm part of the Eden Bus. I'm interning for the year. And we've been running the Eden Bus actually in East Cardiff now for over a year? Year and a half. So we've been running the Eden Bus for a long time. And it was only supposed to be short term, but it was after about 6 months that we were running the Eden Bus, and we thought, like, okay, the money's exhausted now. Like, what are we going to do? Are we going to keep doing the Eden Bus, or are we going to do something else? And as one of our youth leaders put it, that the Eden Bus was like a slip and slide into church, because we had seen over the 2 months before that about 13 young people become Christians over that time, and also start coming to Romney Chapel and being added to the local church, which is like just so crucial. As what we're talking about is that we don't want just decisions, but we also want discipleship as well, and that's where that's really important. But there's two parts of the message, and that's proclamation and proximity. And that's something that with proximity we've got really well as Romney Chapel, and that's literally what my job is being in the area. And so we sort of have like an ABC model set up for our church, and the A is the first point of contact that we have with them in the schools. So part of my role this year has been a chaplain in Eastern High School and St. Iltyd's, and so I'm there one day a week for the two schools. There's just so many amazing stories about what we've just been offered in the schools. For example, in Eastern High, we've been allocated a room which they want us to make as a prayer room, and they want us to open it every single day during lunchtime so that kids from the school can come and pray. But now, this isn't even a Christian school, this is just a secular school, and the head teacher is coming up to us and saying, we want our kids to be able to have a place to pray in our school. Not only just that, it was actually one of the kids, one of the pupils in the school who approached the head teacher and said, I want a place to go. I want a place to go and pray. And the school was willing to accommodate that. And so now, looking into the next term, we're going to have a prayer room open every day in that school, which is just amazing. But also then, if we look at St. Illtyd's, they actually had a new chaplain, because it's a Catholic school, they had a new chaplain appointed at the beginning of this year. And the reason that the Catholic was appointed is because, I think, is it the Archbishop? I'm not sure. There's some sort of person that's in the Catholic world that I'm not completely understanding of. They were like, oh, you've got chaplains in your school. That's amazing. And then he loved the work that the chaplains were doing in the school. And then he found out that there were Christians that weren't part of the Catholic Church. And he was like, wait, what? They're not part of the Catholic Church? And he loved what we were doing. And so they actually now pay for someone who is actually a chaplain in there. But she's amazing. And we work really well with her, and she actually really helped us get the higher tour in to the school. So proximity is something that we got. We love our community, and we're out in our community all the time, doing the Edinburgh sessions. That's two nights a week in the schools, 2 days a week as well. But that whole thing of proclamation is really difficult in the schools. And for us, that's a big issue. Like, when you're going into a school like Eastern High School, which isn't a Christian school, you have limitations on what you can say. You said a word earlier, not proclamation, but something else. What was the word? Preach. Yeah, whatever that word is. It's a big word. It's a big word. Yeah, forgive me. But that whole thing, like, when I go into schools, it's about that community. It's about building up relationships. But there's no, like, you're very restricted in what you can say about preaching the gospel. And if they ask questions, that's great. We can actually answer their questions, and we can be honest and open with them. And that's how we actually found out that stuff like Ouija boards and things like that are really common in that area. And actually getting to talk to kids about spiritualism and just how real that is, is just being, like, really important. But where the higher tour comes in is the fact that they just brought proclamation into the school, just like big scale. And so they came in November, and there's been young people that we've been working with now you've been working with them for like over 6-7 years probably. And I've been working with these young people for 4-5 years now, in the youth club that we run. But actually, they now come to church. Since the higher tour, they actually came along with us. We took, we ordered a bus with about 70 seats in it, I believe, for the higher tour, because we were expectant. So a few of the local churches paid for this bus. And then we went and bought another bus because we were really expectant, and they were both full. So we ended up taking over 130 kids to this conference, where they literally preached the gospel and told them about Jesus and the hope. And as you saw, 1,000 people saying, like, there is hope because of Jesus. And that's what these kids found out. And so from there, we've had another 7 or 8 young people who are now coming to our church on a regular basis. But I'll get a bit more into what we're doing with these young people a bit later in the church. I think Mike has something else.
Okay, thanks. Just one more higher tour story. We were in 42 schools across South Wales, 18,000 young people we met in 3 weeks. Over 1,800 of those came to the gigs, and around about 200 of them responded to the gospel in 3 weeks. Now, that's really exciting, isn't it? I don't know how many of those young people really meant it. I don't know how many of those young people actually went, yeah, do you know what? I'm all in. But I do know that the young people from Rumney Chapel who responded were very serious about it, and we're talking about baptism with them. We got one girl in particular who's turning 18 on Friday, and she wants to get baptized because her parents wouldn't let her before she was 18, so she wants to celebrate her 18th birthday by getting baptized. That's just like, that blows my mind that I get to be part of that. We were in a Catholic high school in Port Talbot with the higher tour, and the head of RE came up to the guys on one of the bands and said, what exactly are you talking to our young people about? And so Daniel was like, well, we're just going to be talking about what the Bible says and about self-esteem. We're going to be sharing kind of the truth of that with the young people. And then this person went, what about the gospel? Are you going to share the gospel with them? And Daniel was like, well, if you want me to share the gospel with them, I will do. What about them responding to the gospel? Will you give them a chance to respond? And so Daniel was like, no, let's just talk about what this actually means. And so they kind of talked about the gospel, what it was and what a response looked like. And it was literally praying with the young people who responded. And over 90 young people in that school put their hand up to respond to the gospel, and 3 teachers. I mean, that's just amazing, isn't it? You know, the opportunities that we have. But anyway, we're here to talk about the bus, not the hire tour. So this is a picture of the bus, this one in the middle. It doesn't look like a bus. It looks like a lounge or a nightclub or something. And so, yeah, that's the downstairs of the bus that I drive around. Why the bus? I talked about the Eden teams that had started. There were five in Manchester in the first 2 years. What they realised that there were no facilities for young people in those areas. And so they thought, right, we need to build facilities in each of those areas. And then somebody came up with the idea, well, why don't we just build a bus, convert it, and then every night of the week it can go out and be a place for young people to hang out. And so that's where the Eden bus came from, because of lack of facilities. It's portable, and there's no restrictions on what you can do there. Some community facilities are a little bit unsure about Christian groups going in there. We can say, we can do whatever we want. We've got a situation at the moment in Llanrymney where the council would like to give us some money to take the Eden bus in and to kind of funnel the young people into the youth facilities in Llanrymney, which aren't Christian. And we had to turn around and say, do you know what? Like, even though you're offering us £200 a week to do this for one evening, we're not going to do it, because we don't want to funnel young people into boxing clubs and to other youth clubs and so on, and the leisure centre. We want to funnel young people into church, and that's always what our focus is. So what do we do with the bus? Well, we do new youth clubs. We've also run a toddler group on the bus, not in South Wales. This was up in Manchester. And the parents, the mums typically of the young people who kind of bring the young people along, they said, it's unfair that our children get to play on this bus. We want to come on the bus as well. And so Sid, who did the job before me, he said, okay, well, I'll turn up a couple of hours earlier with the bus and you can come on. And so the mums of the area went onto the bus with their toddlers, and they started this informal toddler group, just a place for them to hang out, tea and coffee and all that kind of stuff, same as any old toddler group really, I guess, except this one was on a bus. And from that, a bunch of the mums gave their lives to Jesus, and they got too big to be on the bus. There was a local shop that had closed down, owned by the council. They approached the council and said, we want to start a community coffee shop. The council gave them the building, and they started this Christian community coffee shop. From that, then they planted a church. Wow. All from a bus. Student outreach, we help out with Cardiff Met University Christian Union for their outreaches. So we're going at Easter time with them to give out Easter eggs on campus. We did the Plasquin takeover during Freshers Week from 10 p.m. until 3 a.m. Oh, it was awful, but it was brilliant. Tea and toast on the bus, looking after vulnerable students and so on. That community cafe. But the most important thing is that the gospel is always shared. You know, whenever we take the bus out, whatever we use the bus for, we always make sure that we share the gospel. And so that picture that I showed you, oopsie-daisy, oh gosh, that picture I showed you of the lounge, we've got five buses, I forgot to say that, in our fleet, Glasgow, Manchester, Merseyside, South Wales, Yorkshire, there we go, Doncaster. And each one of them has got a lounge area in it, and it's where we can gather the young people who come onto the bus and share the gospel with them. So here's a few pictures from the bus. This is one of our volunteers, Reese, playing a game. This is upstairs at the back of the bus. That's Ashley. I don't know what he's doing. Oh, you might recognise this guy. Come here? Yeah. So Gabriel used to come here come and move to Rumney, and so he came along. We haven't seen him for a while, actually, but yeah, Gabriel came along onto the bus with us. And then this is one of the gospel sessions that we ran. This particular one was the very first time that I used the bus, and in fact, it was just a photo shoot. That's what it was. It wasn't meant to be a proper session. I took the bus to Rumney Chapel, and these are all our young people from Rumney Chapel. And I thought, right, I'll take their photos, because we got photo consent for them. And I didn't have any photos of young people on the bus. And so whilst we were there, I thought, do you know what? I'm going to share the gospel with them. Now, I've been working as an evangelist for the last 16 years, and I think probably had got into that little kind of groove of, oh, well, I'll earn their trust, and I'll get alongside them, and then they'll ask me questions, and, you know, that kind of long-term stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. You do need to work long time with people, and that's why, you know, that proximity thing is so important. But I just went for it this evening, and three young people responded to the gospel just after that photo was taken, and absolutely brilliant. So yeah, those two things, you know, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. So important that we share that, isn't it? Not just in deeds, but in words as well. But also that incarnational love that we've been talking about proximity, how the word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, God's love for us isn't a distant, far off love. He doesn't just love us from heaven. He came down to earth, and that's what the gospel is all about. And that's why we think Eden is so important. So where have we been with the bus? Since I've been driving it, I've been to these places. There's a few other places as well I've not put on the map. We were due to go to St. David's, but we didn't quite make it there. They cancelled on us. Although we do have a few kind of mechanical issues with the bus every so often. It's 28 years old. And so, in fact, it's off the road at the moment. I was teaching somebody to drive it on Thursday. And as we were driving around, it was getting more and more cronky. And I arrived back at Cardiff Bus on Sloper Road to look after it for us, and spoke to the chief engineer there, and he's like, please don't drive it again until we've inspected it. So we were meant to be at Living the Passion on Saturday, but unfortunately we weren't able to be there. So you can see we've worked kind of all over South Wales. That's our patch, really. So yeah, I just wanted to tell two very quick stories about the Eden bus. This one here is parked by Eastern Leisure Centre, so my home turf in East Cardiff. And we were there one Tuesday evening, and it was just an average session. You know, we turned up with the bus, we set everything up, and some young people who I kind of know but weren't our particular regulars came over to us, and they were very worried. They were being threatened by another gang of young people with knives. Now, knife crime is a real issue in East Cardiff. Lots of the young people that we work with carry knives. In fact, there was one guy who I got told was carrying a knife, so I went and spoke to him and said, look, you know, you shouldn't be carrying a knife around with you. And he was like, oh, Mike, I swear down, he said. That's how they talk. He said, I don't carry a knife on the Eden bus. I always stash it before I arrive. And then I pick it up on my way home afterwards, and I'm like, thank you. I don't know what to say to that, you know. It kind of just shows the respect that they do have for the Eden bus and how much they appreciate it. And but I was able just to chat with him about the whole thing of carrying knives. But it's a huge, huge issue in East Cardiff. And so when somebody says they're threatened to stab me with a knife, you take it seriously. And so we were parked up just a little, that's not that evening, but we were parked up just around the corner a little bit. And so myself and Ashley and Ian, one of our other volunteers, kind of locked those boys in our car, in the car that we had, and went and walked around the corner. And as we walked around the corner, there was a whole bunch of young people walking towards us like this, and they were all kind of, you know, probably 16 years old, maybe a little bit older, and they looked as if they meant business. Like, I was a little bit afraid. And Ian, who works with me, he's my size as well, and he just looked at me, and I looked at him, and Ashley was there as well, and we're like, right, well, yeah, whoosh. We'll put Ashley in front of us. And as they walked past, like, Ashley saw one of them actually, you know, got his knife and had it in his hand and so on. And I was like, there is something going down. Like, you know, this is going to be one of the worst sessions of my life. Like, somebody's going to end up getting stabbed. We had another guy, Matthew, who's on the phone to the police at the time as well. Just like, we can't deal with this. And so we were praying, and just as they walked around the corner, though, into the car park, all of these lads in a row, just, it was as if they walked into a brick wall. I've never seen something like it before. They literally stopped like that and just turned around and walked off. Like, talk about God's supernatural protection. I don't know what happened, but I do know that God protected us that night. And we went on. We had some academy students from Manchester with us that night as well, and they went on. They were able to share the gospel with some young people, and it was remarkably calm. Like it was one of the strangest evenings that we've ever had. But you know, God certainly protected us that evening. And do pray for us as we're there. We've had more incidences, since then of young people carrying knives and fighting with knives and so on there. So it is an issue, and it is really, really difficult. But we see so much breakthrough as well. We see so many lives. Like Leah, this girl who's just turned 18, she was on the bus, and I remember I was doing a gospel presentation. I had some of that kind of special paper that you set fire to. Have you seen that? And it just goes... Psh- and disappears. It's called flash paper. It's brilliant fun, especially if you like setting fire to things like I do. And we talked about how, you know, the Bible describes sin as those things that separate us from God, and we were writing down some of what those could be on the pad of paper that I had. And some of the things they were shouting out would really make you blush. They made me blush. And I'm like, right, you know, God, through the life-changing power of the gospel, through Jesus dying on the cross, so forgiveness of sins can get rid of it just like this. So set fire to it, it's gone. I remember Leah being sat on that lounge bit and just her just drinking that in and just saying, right, okay, who's interested? Like, who now wants to be forgiven for those things? Who wants to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And Leah, without hesitating, hand up. I'm in. I want it. And from that moment on, like that was a year ago, just over a year ago, and she posted her testimony on Facebook. Last Friday. And just how God has radically transformed her life. She's gone from being the number one troublemaker that's always mentioned on this Facebook group, Remney News, like 4,000 people throwing hatred at her, to her going, and you know, my life has been transformed. And the local PCSO in the area going, what have you done to Leah? Because we've not heard from her. Whatever it is, keep doing it. And me being able to say to them, the difference is Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I think that's brilliant. And it's not because of what I've done. It's not even because of what Ashley's done. It's not even because of what the bus has done. It's because of what Jesus has done in their lives. This is the bus.
The message well started in September 2018. We hope that one day you'd have an Eden.
So yeah, Mike was just talking about Leah, and actually just another little point from that story of that night when those boys were coming over with the knife and they just stopped because of that God intervening in that situation. But Leah, at that point that night, like, we can just imagine what Leah before she became a Christian would have been like that night. We can imagine her like running over and like just riling these boys up and saying, come on, we'll have you then, and being like that to them. But that wasn't what Leah was like that night. It was the complete opposite. She was going over to her friends and saying, guys, come on, let's move away. Let's stop winding them up. Like, that complete transformation just in a couple of weeks from being that person who would want to have a fight to the one that is saying, come on, guys, let's just turn the other way and walk a different way. And it's just amazing to see that change. But Leah's not the only person that we've seen go through change like this. Also, do you want to look up the thing that she posted on Facebook? But there's another girl as well who became a Christian. I think it might have been in the same night as Leah, actually. But her name's Chelsea. And so Chelsea, she was just in school. She often gets kicked out of class. And she's one of the, like, you can hear her when you're trying to go to sleep. Like, she just has a voice that's really loud. She talks all the time. She doesn't stop talking. And that gets in trouble quite often as well. And so I actually was one of her teachers that she had, her English teacher, was one of the guys that we were working alongside in when we were doing chaplaincy, because I do chaplaincy in the same school as these guys. And it was actually after she became a Christian, about 2 weeks later, this teacher came over to me and he was like, I don't know what they've done to Chelsea, but she's just so much calmer. They must have upped her medication or something. I was like, no, mate, no. They haven't upped her medication. She's just found out about Jesus and accepted Jesus into her life. And that's where the changes come from. It wasn't anything to do with medication or drugs or anything like that. It was just because she was actually open to listening to what the gospel had to say. And that actually radically transformed her life. And even her teachers in school could see that difference in her. And we've just been genuine with them for the past year. And Mike's going to read this post about...
Running mobile
whilst Mike's still looking for that. I mentioned earlier that chaplaincy is that's our first point of contact, and we've got that like ABC model set up. So that our point A is that chaplaincy. And then we go to our point B, that's the Eden bus. When we're in school, we have the freedom, maybe not to share the gospel, but we have the freedom to say, hey guys, why don't you come to the Eden bus? Like, it's a youth club on wheels. Like, it's pretty cool. We got Xboxes. I'll show you some tricks. Yeah. And then they come along to that, and it gives us the freedom to actually share our faith, share the gospel. And it's that situation, that freedom that we get on the Eden bus, which opens up opportunities to get to our point C in our ABC model, which is seeing them come to church. And we've just seen that work. We've seen over 13 people who have become Christians from the chaplaincy into the Eden bus, and they're now added to the local church, and they come on a regular basis, not only to the Sunday, but to the other work that we do as well. And I think Mike has found this. Yeah, cool.
So this is Leah's Facebook post. It says, this time last year, I realized I had to change my ways. Then Mike and Ian told me about Christ and about a lift adventure in Newport. And I was very interested to see what it was all about. So Chelsea and a couple of the girls went. Then I was there. Something told me that this is the way to follow Jesus. And that's what I'd done. I wouldn't say my life's 100% times better, but it's definitely 99.9% better. I can honestly say now that it was the best thing I ever done, turning to Christ. I feel better within myself. Then I started going to church, and they all welcomed me like in as if I was their family, even though I ain't. But I love it. but I class every single one of them as family now. People even have said that no way is this the girl who was all over Rumney News, that Facebook group I was on about. But yes, it is. And no, I'm not proud of what I've done in the past, but I know that the Lord forgives me for it. Happy 1 year, Lord, and many more to come.
No. Yeah, so it's just amazing to actually, and that was the only person who posted something like that over the past week, and it's just amazing to see these young people, the difference that their faith has made, and the fact that as well that they're not ashamed to actually proclaim that on their Facebook where all their friends are, like that's amazing. And we run this a Friday night youth club with these guys that come on a Sunday, I don't know if you've ever done this. You probably have. It's a game that's been going on for such a long time now, but it's called Bible Swords, is it? Yeah. And you draw your sword, and we've been playing that with them, and it's like they absolutely love it. We had one boy, his name's Ben, and he was like, I can't read. And he was like, oh, there's no point, I can't read. And Ian, one of our youth leaders, helped him find this the verse, and he was first. He was so excited. He didn't wait for anyone else. He just stood there in the middle of everyone and started belting out this verse. I was like, I thought he couldn't read. He just read out this whole verse to everyone. He was so excited when he found it, and he just started reading it out. Not only that, when we finished the session, as we finished talking to them about the gospel, as we finished just going through different parts of scripture and talk, like just opening up and explaining those bits of scripture to them, we started making gingerbread men. Mike absolutely loved it. He did. Like these boys who go around, they carry knives and they have this tough shell in their everyday lives, and they have to, like, that's the way they feel like they have to be to protect themselves. But just seeing them open up in this situation where they're just drawing themselves as on gingerbread men, like it's just something so small, something so simple, but they absolutely loved it. Just being able to explore something different, do something new, and just have that whole fellowship and that friendship that we had around them. And whilst these guys are just super excited about making gingerbread men, you have this other boy who's probably never opened the Bible in his life, who's just finished playing the Bible Swords game. They're all making gingerbread men, and he sat there with his friend next to him, and they just sat there, still going through it, still looking through the Bible. Isn't it amazing that these young people are like just excited to actually have it just there, open in front of them? Like, that's God's word. That's something so powerful, and it's just so amazing to see that young people actually excited to look at what it says and open to actually hearing and understanding what it says. And so, yeah, it's just amazing to see the fact that it has been working. Like, all of that time just investing in the chaplaincy and then the Eden bus is paying off, and we're seeing young people getting discipled. They haven't just made decisions, but every single week we get a chance to correct anything, any mistakes that they do, because they do make make mistakes. Of course they do. And then they're so apologetic about it afterwards. But seeing those glimpses of light in situations, like there was a fight. Like one of them came to church for the first ever time. And then the following week at the Edinburgh session, there was a fight between two of the boys that come to the church. And they had this fight. And Mike was like, he was so annoyed. He was just like, so like, oh, like they were just on church on Sunday. Why are they having the fight? And I was like, yeah, that seems like quite a dark situation. But in amongst all of that, when I said, hey, can you come over here? He came over and we got to speak and he listened. That was something that never happened before. So sometimes it's about seeing the light breaking through in that darkness. And we've seen that happening as well with the people that we've only just started journeying with, that the light is starting to break through in those situations. It's just amazing to see what God's doing.
Yeah, no. One of the young people punched me in the face a couple of weeks ago on a Friday night because they were for a change, it wasn't actually, because he wasn't allowed in. And we have a rule about you have to come to church on a Sunday to come to our discipleship group on a Friday. And he was absolutely mortified about what he'd done when he calmed down. And the first thing he did was come and apologize to me. Like, you know, it's tough, but, you know, Aslan's on the move. So that's good. Prayer points. I know we talked and we've gone almost to 1:30, but I do pray for more opportunities in the local schools. We're in there doing a whole day's RE lessons with the Edinburgh in St. Illtyd's Catholic High School very shortly. Pray for new team members for the new Eden team, which is going to be in Rumney and Trowbridge. And yes, you're invited to come and play. So we're looking for another 4 families to move to Rumney and Trowbridge to be part of the Eden team, to live there, to worship in the local church there, and to really kind of invest in their neighbours and in the community. So if that's you, or if you... I didn't tell you I was going to try and steal some of your church members. I'm sorry. But yeah, if that's you, or if you think you might know somebody who'd be interested, then come and see me. We're also employing an Eden team leader to look after the team. I do pray for the Eden bus mechanical issues. The email from the chief engineer on Friday evening was, it looks very serious. So I'll let you know on Monday what's going to happen. Monday's tomorrow, so it'd been hopefully it's just not serious and they fixed it over the weekend. We'll see. But also for more growth with the young people in Rumney Chapel that we're working with. You know, there's so much potential there, and it's hard work, but I tell you what, it's worth it. And it's worth every single punch, with every single argument, with every single late night worrying, because, you know, these young people, God loves them, and they've got a special place in his heart, I'm sure, like they have ours. And they need that. You know, the sick really need a doctor, don't they? And we see that with these young people. They desperately need change in their lives. So do pray for them all. We can't name them all, but there's a group of kind of, 15 to 20, somewhere around there. So do pray for those. And especially pray for Leah. You know, she's turning 18 on Friday, got her whole life ahead of her. Her parents won't even let her go to college, even though she wants to, because they need her to babysit her siblings. You know, how awful is that? And that's just one little thing from her life. So do pray for Leah as well.